welcome. You are listening to the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. My name is Dan Kretzer. It is February 11th, 2007. Of course, here it's 42 below, and there's 12 and a half feet of snow on my driveway. Tonight on the Dana Pretzer Show, what is the price of fame? We've heard nothing but all of death and Alan Phil Smith in the last few days. One of the most beautiful women, whether you loved her or hated her, you have to admit, she's one of the most beautiful women in entertainment history. And another very beautiful woman in entertainment history, Lana Clarkson's life was taken on February 3rd, 2003. Phil Spector is standing trial for that. I want to talk to Ed Losey tonight. Ed Losey is from Ed Losey & Associates. It's a full-service public relations firm specializing in image development and media placement. Ed Losey is the winner of the Publicist of the Year, 2001-2002. And if anyone knows about the price of fame, Ed Losey does. And he's very familiar with the Lana Clarkson case for sure. So we're going to talk about the price of fame tonight with Ed Losey here on the Dana Pretzer Show. We'll be right back.
people can stand up and say they had enough of rock and roll music today. If you didn't come to boogie, you didn't come to ball, you got no business being here at all. Well, it's gonna be one of those nights. It's just got to be one of those nights. Hey, people, I'm giving you warning. We're all going to jail in the morning. Grab somebody and hold on tight. It's gonna be one of those nights. Well, we just flew in for a one-night stand. Making our music in a traveling band. Drummer, start the music, pass the wine. Everybody here's gonna have a good time. Well, it's gonna be one of those nights. It's just got to be one of those nights. Clap your hands and stomp your feet. Follow me if you lose the beat. Now you got the rhythm and it feels alright. It's gonna be one of those nights.
Okay, we're back. This is the Dana Pritzer Show here on Scared Monkeys Radio. Two of the most beautiful women in entertainment history, in my opinion, lost their lives way too young. Anna Nicole Smith, if you've been watching the news in the last few days, died of, well, circumstances that haven't been found out yet. Was it the price of fame, or was it just a circumstance that couldn't be helped? Lana Clarkson, on February 3rd, 2003, music mogul, nutcase, in my opinion, Phil Spector, was arrested for the murder of 40-year-old actress Lana Clarkson, another beautiful young lady who lost her life way too soon. I thought tonight what we do on the show is talk a little bit about the price of fame, and the guy that I thought of right away that could talk about that is Ed Losey. Ed Losey and Ed Losey and Associates is runs a full-service public relations firm specializing in image development and media placement, and Ed is very familiar with both cases, in particular the Clarkson case. Ed, welcome back to the show.
Well, hi, Dan. I'm glad to be back. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine. You're coming in nice and clear. Let's talk a little bit about Anna Nicole.
At the beach, it's 66 degrees here. Beautiful, balmy evening in Hermosa Beach, California.
Okay. And
I know the rest of the nation is freezing.
Yeah, it's minus 25 here. I've got 5.5 feet of snow. And I'm jealous as hell right now, but that's okay. No problem. Let's talk a little bit about Anna Nicole Smith. I described her and Lana Clarkson as two of the most beautiful women in entertainment history, in my opinion. Both had unique talents. Both obviously died of different circumstances. Let's talk about Anna Nicole Smith a little bit here. How tragic is this? Was Anna Nicole Smith a price of fame casualty, or did she just go at the right time?
Well, you know, Anna Nicole Smith has been accused of being famous for just being famous.
Right.
And she was, she knew exactly what she was doing. She's not a dumb blonde, she's dumb like a fox. And her reality show, of course, was more like a cartoon. And that was when she was at her heaviest. But there was nothing more beautiful and better shape than she was when she was on her physical mark. But, yeah, she died of grief, Dana. That's what she died of. She died of grief. She didn't die from grief.
Right.
A broken heart from the loss of her son. That was, you know, she was, the son was everything, brother and son, because she was so young. She was a teenager when she had him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they had a very close, that was her whole life. And it's only been a few months since she died, but the injuries to your body when you lose weight rapidly.
Right.
But no, I mean, it happened to me. I lost 60 pounds and 8 weeks one time on a crash diet course. I went on Slim Fast, but I wound up having some internal problems over that, and you can imagine the kind of weight that she lost. She was up to about 255 to 260 pounds at her peak, and lost a tremendous amount of weight. That eats away at the walls and the linings of the muscles and of the heart, so she had a weakened heart to begin with. So with the grief, that's my opinion, you know.
her substance abuse or not, I don't know. I think we're going to see within the next 3 weeks exactly what she had in her, you know, with the toxicology reports.
You described Anna as crazy like a fox. And was this just a persona, the dumb blonde routine? I've heard other interviews that described her as an excellent businesswoman, someone who was doing her act, so to speak, but behind the scenes she was actually very intelligent.
That's correct. She was dumb like a fox, and you know, she was very bossy and orderly, and wanted it her way or no way, and she got spoiled. But she also knew the cameras were on in the reality show. And when I first met her, it was at the Night of the 100 Stars Oscar party, which we do every year. It's like 17 years now, and Anna and Howard joined us three different times over the last 10 years, and were RSVP'd to be with us on the 25th coming up. So she was going to make her big red carpet debut. You know, it's at Oscar weekend, is the 25th.
Right.
And so when she shows up on the red carpet, it's usually we get a huge amount of press, more so than we expected, as they're following her. And, you know, now Paris Hilton has become sort of the heir apparent to her. You notice Paris Hilton poses and does a lot of stuff that Anna Nicole Smith did.
Right.
She was, you know, like her mentor in a way. So she learned and then knew how to manipulate the red carpet and get the photos. It was all camp. You know, it was all pretty, it's all campy. She knew what the photographers liked. And she was well aware of the comparison to Marilyn Monroe. And kissing her was like kissing Marilyn Monroe.
Was it? Yeah.
You know, because she had the same exact mouth.
Right.
If you look at her mouth, the lips and the teeth and the whole, it's uncanny. So, I know what it was like to kiss Marilyn Monroe.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I met her at the Night of the 100 Stars Oscar party.
Right.
And that's where I got enough gumption to ask her out on a date.
Right.
And she said yes, and then I realized that, you know, she was accessible. Because
right.
A lot of times people, you know, beautiful women, you think they're on a, they're not accessible, but they are.
Right.
A lot of times people are afraid to ask them out.
Howard Stern is being vilified in the media right now, and I'm curious your thoughts on how the media has been covering the death of Anna Nicole. Have they been professional, or have they just been going with if it bleeds, it leads, and let's run anything that we can while the people are interested?
Of course, it's about everything they can, and that's just the nature of it. And then now it's taken off on its own. It's become a cottage industry. It's become the latest celebrity death, celebrity news, and it's going to go on for a while. Unfortunately, I hope it doesn't go on to butt into the Lana Clarkson Phil Spector murder trial, which starts on March the 19th. I think a lot of it will be died down yet, but this is going to have legs. There's so many factors happening here with who the father is and the family and the inheritances, and it's going to go on and on and on.
As a publicist, Ed, will Anna Nicole continue on in death as popular as she was in life, vis-a-vis Elvis, of course, and a lot of the dead celebrities who seem to make more money in their dead state than they ever did when they were alive?
You know, I don't know. There's a comparison, sort of another Playboy beauty that came up and got into motion pictures. I don't know if you remember her. Movies have been made about her. It was all the rage. It was Dorothy Stratton.
Right.
And you know, Mariel Hemingway played her. There was three or four movies, television shows, and that was back in the 80s. And that went on for almost 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was over.
Yeah.
Just like that. But it was, you know, many years that went on because of the horrendous circumstances, you know, when she was had her head blown off with a shotgun by the boyfriend. You remember that story.
You bet I do.
So this wasn't as sensationalistic. You know, this one was, you know, a mother and son dying within weeks of each other with the same causes of death, which is something unique and going to be talked about for a long, long time. But Dorothy Stratton was, of course, Peter Bogdanovich's girlfriend, and, you know, who directed her and who had done some motion pictures. So I see a lot of comparisons there, you know, discovered by Hugh Hefner and modeling contracts. So I don't think it's going to last forever. I certainly hope it doesn't, but I think her memory, there's two ways to take it. You know, it all depends on what you're listening to, what media outlet.
Oh, exactly.
Just like, you know, listening to coverage of the war in Iraq.
Exactly, yeah.
What's going on at Fox News is different from CNN and CBS News.
Yeah, isn't that true? You know, we want to talk about the price of fame while I've got you here, Ed. Lana Clarkson, someone who you were very familiar with, another beautiful woman, cut down in the prime of her life. And we can probably give examples all evening of young, beautiful actresses that have left this earth way too soon. Phil Spector, I described him as a nutcase when I did my intro. I think that's probably as fair as anything. Let's talk about that case that's coming up a little bit, and let's talk a little bit about Lana Clarkson.
Okay. Well, go ahead. Ask me something. What do you want to know? There's so much.
Well, February 3rd, 2003, Spector was arrested. Okay. And it's gone on this long. It's been somewhat quiet in the media lately. However, when it was first in the media, you saw this sideshow of Phil Spector, almost of a man who you described down in Nicole Smith as crazy as like a fox. And I think Spector, who may come across as crazy, knew exactly what he was doing on February 3rd, 2003, or whenever the crime scene was. This is just unbelievable to see this guy. When did you first meet Lana Clarkson? And tell us about her.
Well, Lana Clarkson was a very beautiful girl. I mean, real beauty, and was a working actress for 25 years.
Yep.
I mean, that's how she paid her bills, which is a lot different from other, you know, so-called actors, actresses who get a role every now and then, but, you know, have other jobs and other ways of making a living. Lana Clarkson was an actor. And a member of the Screen Actors Guild and a member of AFTRA.
Mm-hmm.
And she worked on it and just kept missing stardom. But yes, starred on major primetime television shows, as well as being discovered by Roger Corman to be put in, you know, his sci-fi Barbarian Queen movies, which made her a cult figure with thousands of sci-fi fans who would go to Creation Entertainment, you know, weekend expos and wait online for hours to get her autograph. So she had her career, you know. She was a career actor, not a star, but a career actor. A lot of people didn't realize that. They didn't know who she was. The news first came out.
Right.
Had her, you know, as somebody that worked at the House of Blues. But we had to fix all that. You know, The evidence against Phil Spector is so overwhelming.
Right.
And they have such an incredible case. And so many witnesses that are going to be allowed to testify that he had pulled loaded guns on them, women, the judge is allowing to testify.
Right.
You know, including the statements of his own limo driver, including the statements of the arresting L.A. County Sheriff, police officers who had to taser him because he was so drugged up. Which, by the way, it's one other defense he's using. The latest is that he was so drugged up that any kind of confessions or admitting that he shot her by accident is going to be ruled out because he was so intoxicated.
Right.
That's the latest tactic that his attorneys are going to try to use.
Now, Phil Speck,
I think the cases were pretty overwhelming.
Yeah, oh, for sure. All you have to do is look
then
at
it. Again, we have the dumbest juries on the planet. You know, the Los Angeles juries are dumbed down. The jury pool is really pathetic. Even though they want 300 jurists, this is what the judge Fiddler has said, 300 jurists I want to pick from. So on the 19th, we start. No more continuances, no more stalling tactics, no more.
Enough's enough.
Because it's been 4 years and over 8 continuances by both sides. And so here you've got a accused murderer who was a psychopathic, gun-crazy menace to society.
Yep.
Who could shoot anybody else any minute because he's out. And he doesn't, he's not under any kind of arrest, restraint. You know, he can't leave the country. That's the only thing. He had to surrender his passport.
Right.
But I think that he will be tried and convicted, and I hope that he spends the rest of his life in prison so he doesn't shoot anybody else. Nobody's surprised that the gun went off.
I'm hoping
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm hoping, Ed, that the celebrity aspect of this, vis-a-vis O.J. and Robert Blake, doesn't play a role in the decision. And I wanted to ask you that question this evening: is the Specter trial is similar to the Blake and the Simpson trial? And I think you said it best as far as dumb juries go. Will this persona of him being such a celebrity, so to speak, play a factor in this? I hope not.
Well, there could be, I think it'll be the tactics of lawyering.
Right.
And then I think what they're going to try to do is to try to make Lana Clarkson look like she was asking for it to the jury.
Oh, jeez.
To make it, to give him more of a lesser sentence.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to go down. He's going to get a sentence. He's going to wind up. He's definitely going to do prison time. But how much? You know, the ultimate is like lifetime in prison without parole.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that happening. But you never know. He definitely deserves it, and he's been charged with it, and that's what the prosecution is going for, and they vowed to do that. So the difference, though, between him and O.J. and Robert Blake and Michael Jackson is that nobody knows him. Nobody likes him.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
He's a blast from the past, and he's a buffoon, and he's going also for a potential insanity plea by showing up with the bozo hairdo and the big shoes and giving the finger to everybody in the courtroom, and also with a Tourette's syndrome type of yelling things out in the courtroom.
Jeez.
So he was, admonished by the judge more than once for being contempt of court. Leslie Abramson was fired because she just kept on getting in fights with him, telling him to shut his mouth in the courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
And he changed his story 4 times within 4 years.
Jeez.
So
it's unbelievable.
It's so overwhelming against him that's why I think he's going to walk. Because it's Los Angeles.
Yeah. That's the scary part about all this.
Yeah, I wish we could move this trial to another state, but you can't.
Yeah, for sure. Before I let you go, Ed, your major publicist, a young, beautiful potential actress, walks into your office today. Let's compare 2007 to 1966. How do you handle this beautiful actress and get her on the right track so that she isn't swallowed by the bad media, if I could categorize that, instead of being part of the good media and brought to her potential?
Well, there is no formula for this. That's when, you know, there's no formula for success in Hollywood. You know, there are some unscrupulous people that have phony casting agencies and phony agencies that charge money and to give you advice, but there is no real formula for success. It all depends on that particular person and how obsessed they are. And a lot of them, it's dumb luck. You know, they fall in the right place at the right time. They may or may not have a talent. talent is only 50% of it. You can be the best actress in the world, and there's so many of them that are 10 times better actresses than Gwyneth Paltrow or you know, the stars that we know today. They're a dime a dozen. It's all about timing, being in your best shape, being on top of your acting craft, which is, of course, acting craft, acting lessons, working at the craft, because acting is an art. Motion pictures, stage, television is an art. So, you know, plus I wouldn't sign anybody anymore like that. Mm-hmm. That's not what we do anymore. I would just tell her to go somewhere else. But, because we do mainly motion pictures and TV and celebrities.
Right.
You know, like Oscar-winning actors we represent people that are already established. It's too difficult to deal. So that's why a lot of these girls need to have a personal manager. You know, somebody that's going to take them under their wing and decide what photos they should have or what agent they should get or try to get them an agent or try to get them a publicist or, you know, someone that's a man or a woman that doesn't have ulterior motives that really see the potential there. And they're here. They exist. But again, there's no formula.
Yeah, I believe that. Last question.
These two girls were lucky. They had the look,
yep.
They had the personality, they had the moxie, and they were in the right place at the right time for things. And more so with Lana Clarkson as an actress.
Right.
Of course, Anna Nicole Smith had a long way to go.
Right.
When it comes to acting. She was a personality on her own. She was famous for just being Anna Nicole Smith, sort of like Paris Hilton.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, who has no real acting talent either. But they're just who they are.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Anna Nicole Smith, who's from a, you know, poor family in Texas, she was still a Southern Belle. The Southern Belles are very endearing, family-orientated, all-American pie. They're like, you know, apple pie and grandma, and that's what she was, whether she was born in a trailer park or not, you know?
No, absolutely.
So that's what's endearing and refreshing about her.
Did the two of them ultimately pay the price of fame, Ed?
Of course. It paid the price of fame, but then there's also very famous people that are happily living happily ever after.
Exactly.
I've got one myself. I got Shirley Jones, who's an Oscar-winning actress,
yep.
Emmy-nominated this year. And she's calls her own shots. And, you know, from the time she was 20 till she's now 72, it's been just nonstop successes. And, you know, the only price of fame that she has is that she's married to Marty Angles.
Ed, I want to thank you for coming on the show. It's always a pleasure.
Oh, my pleasure.
And we'll stay in touch. Thanks again.
All right, Dana. Take care.
Thanks, buddy.
Have a good weekend.
Bye-bye. Ed Losey from Ed Losey and Associates talking about Anna Nicole Smith and Lana Clarkson and the price of fame. Yes, they did pay the ultimate price of fame. I'm Dana Pretzer. This is Scared Monkeys Radio. We'll be right back.
Bye. as I got to be nervous, I can't say hi. Not too skinny, she's not too fat. She's a real tough jigger and I like a nice back. Devil with a blue red, blue red.
This is the Dan Pritzer Show here on Scared Monkeys Radio. Again, our webpage is www.scaredmonkeys.com/radio, www.scaredmonkeys.com/radio. There you can listen to the show live. You can hear podcasts, the daily commentary, whatever. The folks over at Scared Monkeys have been doing a great job with the commentaries, putting slideshows with them and putting them up on YouTube. Of course, we're on Trust Cable in Alabama, Channel 46, on satellite, AMC 3, Transponder 7, Decipher 2 Audio, or if you have a 4D TV, W3957, and wherever else you can pick us up. My name is Dana Pretzer. Special thanks to Ed Losey. I understand I'm getting some email here that we had a bit of a phone problem for the first little part of the interview. I apologize for that. I'm not sure why. I guess it corrected itself. One of my regular listeners, Donnie Simmons, lives in New Orleans, and I'll open up the phone line now. Don, if you're listening, give me a call. I'd love to hear from you and get an update as far as New Orleans is going. 306-842-7884, 306-842-7884. But anyway, he sends me an email, and I thought I'd share it with you because it's very prophetic, very truthful. And Don is, well, he's there. He's in New Orleans, and he's seeing what happens, and something that we don't always see in the news media, in particular mainstream media. It says, update on New Orleans. Things are much better now, though not back to normal. The New Orleans Saints almost made it to the Super Bowl. Yeah, that's true. This really helped the morale around here. The big problem that's going around here is the New Orleans Police Department and the New Orleans District Attorney are not working together. The DA cannot find ways to bring charges against cop killers, but he can find ways to charge cops that shoot at people on a bridge at the height of the chaos right after the hurricane. These policemen were being shot at and responded accordingly. This weekend brings the beginning of the Mardi Gras season. You can check out the size of the crowds by going to NOLA.com. That's NOLA.com. NOLA.com. And click the link for the Bourbon Street camera. That comes from Don Simmons. He's been a long-time listener, listening to my show for years, and we appreciate any comments from Donnie. In fact, Donnie, again, if you're listening, call in 306-842-7884. We'd love to hear from you. Yeah, that's true. You know, do you see that in the mainstream media? You know, we hear about the Border Patrol agents, and we're going to be doing some follow-up shows in the weeks to come on that. John Futrell, LAPD, you know, the North Hollywood shootout. The New Orleans policeman. Am I saying that every policeman is good? No, I'm not. But I think Donnie says it best here from New Orleans. The DA cannot find ways to bring charges against the cop killers, but he can find charges against the cops who shot at the people on the bridge at the height of the chaos right after the hurricane. That's just like the Border Patrol agents that shoot a drug smuggler in the ass that's bringing $1 million worth of marijuana. I'm sure he was armed. Not many drug dealers that are carrying that amount of drugs wouldn't be. And they ended up giving the drug dealer immunity. He's suing the U.S. government now and will probably get tax-free money. And it's just crazy. It's just absolutely crazy. My name's Dana Pretzer. This is Scared Monkeys Radio, and we'll be back in just a minute or three.
I'm in love with the girl that I'm talking about. I'm in love with the girl I can't live without. I'm in love, but I sure picked a bad time to be in love.
And we're back. This is the Dana Pretzer Show tonight, and Donnie Simmons is trying to get a hold of me. Just a minute. Both at numbers that aren't working tonight, so I want to get him on the air if possible. Let's see. A little typing music. And we can talk to him about New Orleans. That would be fantastic. Again, I want to thank Ed Losey, publicist from Ed Losey and Associates, for coming on the air tonight to talk about the price of fame. And here's a guy that knows it, or he knows about it, being close to both Anna Nicole Smith and Lana Clarkson. The loser here, and the one that I feel for the most, is the little baby, 5 months old or 6 months old. And thank God she's of the age right now where she's not hearing the media broadcasts about, you know, who's the father and some crazy guy that's Zsa Zsa Gabor's husband. And that the husband of Zsa Zsa Gabor says, you know, it might be him and all kinds of stuff. It's just crazy. Hi, you're on Scared Monkeys Radio.
Hello, Dana. It's Donald in New Orleans.
How you doing, sir?
Good.
I just read your email, and I'm sorry. I should have gave you a number to call instead of those other numbers, but that's okay. You know, I just read your email. I'm glad to hear from you. I think the last time we talked to you was just after Hurricane Katrina. Now it's been a while. And I want you to talk a little bit about the New Orleans Police Department, because what we're hearing about New Orleans right now is it's dangerous. The murder rates are crazy. The police are corrupt. The army still has to come in. The levies, it was a conspiracy by George Bush to break the levies. All this kind of nonsense. You're a guy that's there. Tell us what's really going on.
All right. That last part was nonsense. But the police department is okay, but there is a problem between the police department and the district attorney.
Right.
The district attorney has a different agenda. We had some shootings right after the hurricane.
Right.
Involving some the police, and the DA brought charges against the police. But then at the same time that was going on, there were some shootings where some looters were shooting at the police.
Right.
And the DA says, well, he can't find any reason to bring those people on charges. It's kind of it's crazy. It's kind of backwards.
Is it a political thing with all the media hype that went on during the Hurricane Katrina recovery and the media hype about the policeman that beat up the black, I think he was a retired school teacher, that all of a sudden now this press would not look good? Or is it just crazy, like you say?
Well, part of it's the press. I mean, the police that they arrested, in fact, they arrested them, and they were going to charge them with first-degree murder and give them, death.
Right.
Well, the DA backed off on the death sentence, but he still charged them with first-degree murder. And, he's just, way out of line with this. When the press, arrested these cops, there were six of them.
Right.
When they showed the pictures in the paper, they only showed the white police officers in the paper.
Exactly.
The black officers were arrested, too.
Yeah, that's my
point. With the same crime.
That's my point. That's my point. And if you're going to be fair, then you should show everyone. Donnie, what we saw in Katrina and the coverage, I can remember Geraldo on the air saying that the Superdome was worse than some death camps during the Second World War, that they needed help, that there were people dying and starving and everything all over the place. I know you weren't exactly there at the time because you do your own public service, but how truthful was that media report? Or was there a fairly good job when it came to the recovery and during that time?
Well, the truth is, I think there were two or three deaths. One of them was a suicide.
Right.
I think one was just natural because when the electricity went out, it got very, very hot in the Superdome.
I'll bet, yeah.
And the humidity was just, it was unbearable. And then the sewers backed up and the stench got bad. But, it was bad. But the murders and things that were going on, or things that were reported by, actually reported by the chief of police,
mm-hmm.
Turned out to be false.
Is he still the chief of police?
No, he was let go, I guess, about 6 months later.
Oh, was he? Okay.
He was replaced. The new police chief is the one that has the problems now.
Oh, jeez.
And he's really not much better.
And, looking at, we were doing a show one night about salaries, and looking at public service salaries in Louisiana, in particular the New Orleans Police Department, that's got to be one of the poorest paid police departments in the United States, if not North America, yet one of the busiest and in one of the most terrible positions to be in right now. What do you think that's all about? Is it a city issue, a state issue?
I'm not sure that's true. The police salaries have been raised several times recently over the last few years, and I think the starting salary is in the $35,000 range.
Okay, because I know when, and this was last year when I did that show, I think there was I think the starting salary was $28,000 to $29,000, and compared to other police services across the United States, they were almost near the bottom.
Oh, no. In fact, no, it's more than that. The New Orleans Police Department starting salary is pretty well. In fact, the neighboring parish, Jefferson Parish, starts much less.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. I'm glad, because you have to attract people to a position like that, and if you're not going to pay them, you know, who the heck's going to want the job? Because it looks like, you know, it's time to blame the police and not the bad guy, and we see so many examples of that across North America.
Well, there was a story this past week. Now, I don't know if it made it up there by you, but there was two teenagers got into a fight in the central city, and they fought. One goes home, and his mother says, "Oh, no, you got to go back. You can't take a butt kicking like that." And she gave him a gun, told him to go back and shoot everybody.
Jeez.
And he did. That's the kind of mentality you got right now with, you know, some of these people in the inner city.
How's the rebuilding been going, and what is the state of the levees?
The levees are being rebuilt. They're come along. I mean, you know, you just don't build levees overnight. Mm-hmm. That's a 10-year project or more. But they're being improved from what they were. As far as the rebuilding in the city, it all depends on where you are. If you're in the main part of the city, there's some areas that still look like they did 18 months ago.
Right.
Where I'm at, I'm on the west bank of the Mississippi River in New Orleans, and, well, we weren't damaged because we didn't have any flooding here. We just had wind damage. Everything is fine. It's back to normal.
And even your dish survived.
Yeah, it did. And then other parts, like I said, you have Orleans Parish and Jefferson Parish. Jefferson Parish survived. Everything is fine there.
And how about those New Orleans Saints? Boy, I'll tell you, isn't that a Cinderella story?
Well, yeah, that was good. It did bring morale back anyway, even though, you know, it's not important, but it was enjoyable to be there all season.
Oh, I think it's very important. They're still not talking about moving, are they?
Not at the moment. They still have a contract that runs through 2010, I believe, so they'd be here for the short term anyway.
What's the Mardi Gras look like? I haven't had a chance, because I've been busy with the show here, to get on the website, but lots of tourists?
I'm not sure. I haven't watched the news over the weekend, but the weather's been good, so I'm sure the tourism is going to pick up. It was a good day today to be there, you know, at the parades. So I would expect that to get bigger by next weekend for the big weekend.
Donnie, it's always nice to have you call in. I'm glad I could get you a number. I appreciate it. You're a longtime listener and a good friend.
Okay, man. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, good night.
Bye-bye. Donnie Simons from New Orleans. Nice to have an update from him. Last time I talked to him, I think, was the day after Katrina. This is Scared Monkeys Radio. I'm Dana Pretzer. We'll be right back. And we're back. This is the Dana Pritzer Show for February 11th, 2007, here on Scared Monkeys Radio. We've got about 9 minutes left on the program. If you'd like to call in, 306-842-7884, 306-842-7884. You can call in and talk about anything you like. Thanks to Ed Losey and Donnie Simons for joining me tonight. And, you know, let's talk a little bit about the media coverage of the Anna Nicole Smith death. I got a kick out of Brian Williams on NBC News, who was talking about how the cable, is this a sign of the times, I believe was the tone of his piece, that the cable news networks drop all their coverage to go nonstop on the death of Anna Nicole Smith for a period of time. Almost, of course, NBC, you know what side they're on, trying to belittle Fox News without saying Fox News is who he was pointing at, and CNN, obviously. Yet, what Mr. Williams didn't realize is he was doing the same thing. They were talking about the paternity and this poor little baby, 4 or 5 or 6 months old, that, you know, who's the father, and the half of the $1.5 billion, and how Pierce Marshall is now dead, and Anna Nicole Smith's now dead, and who's this Howard Stern guy, you know, Howard K. Stern, the lawyer who's never represented anybody yet. He was in the room when Anna Nicole's son Daniel died, and he's in the room when she died. Is that just fate? Is that something that needs to be investigated into? Yet he was doing on NBC the same as what Fox was doing. For more people, although maybe Fox has got more ratings than the NBC Nightly News. I'm not sure. They're probably getting pretty close to there. But it's that type of media reporting, I think, is what everyone questions. And, in fact, the guy I'm going to put on the air here right now can probably talk a little bit more about it. And nothing that NBC would ever do, caller, would be slanted to the left, would it?
Dana, I heard the reference of hypocrisy, and I felt obligated to call.
You know, Anna Nicole Smith, and you know, I wanted to get Ed Losey on tonight because Ed Losey, he dated Anna Nicole Smith, you know, and he represented Lana Clarkson, so he knows about the beautiful starlet. Was Anna Nicole Smith an actress? No, but was she a persona? Absolutely. You can't be human if you didn't look when Anna Nicole Smith was on TV, even when she was on her Anna Nicole show at 240 pounds, walking around like she had been drugged up for the last 3 weeks, it was one of the highest rated shows ever on E! Is this a sign of the times of media, or are people really that interested?
You know, I would like to say no, Dana, but obviously there is a segment out there that obviously is. The last, you know, pictures, videos of Anna Nicole went for $500,000.
God.
And it showed nothing.
Nothing, no. Nope.
I mean, it's just absolutely insane. But, you know, there is this whole celebrity which is created by the media, so therefore it's like they're almost creating the news themselves, creating the nightmare, and then capitalizing on the deaths as well.
Well, I forgot to ask him, but it was Ed Losey who actually gave me the line, Anna Nicole, now she can finally rest in peace. And I think that's very prophetic for someone who, you know, at 16, had a child and married a fry cook and goes to the Playboy Playmate of the Year, to marrying an 89-year-old billionaire when she was 26 or whatever, to now dying of 6 months after her son. You know, there's going to be a movie. You can guarantee there's going to be a movie. Who knows who's going to star in it and what it's going to be all about. But you have to wonder about the people. Will 2 years from now people still be talking about Anna Nicole, or 5 years from now, or will she, like Dorothy Stratton, just disappear?
I think it's a little bit different, Dana, than the Dorothy Stratton story, in the sense that, you know, obviously, you know, Playboy Playmate, you know, being murdered by their insane ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
But the I think the difference of let's say Dorothy Stratton compared to Anna Nicole is we live in such a media 24/7 driven society that many people probably have no idea who Dorothy Stratton is.
Yeah, right.
Although at the time it was just a major story.
Yep.
But you know, Anna Nicole, I mean, the two thoughts that come to mind with her are, you know, if there was ever a story that was, you know, a cry for help,
yep.
if someone remotely around her could have helped her, but it almost seemed like the people that she surrounded herself with were the very people who were going to exploit her.
Exactly.
By the same token, she certainly did her share of, you know, exploitation as
mm-hmm.
well,
mm-hmm.
but you wonder whether, you know, was it her, whether it was the handlers, you know, obviously there's some personal responsibility in all this, but what a, just a tragic story of, what a mess.
Yeah.
I mean, and the sick part about it, Dana, of all of this, is the media loves to cash in on stories like this. They, you know, all of the mainstream media at one point or another had nothing good to say about this woman, you know, whether it was calling her a gold digger, calling her a slut, you know,
mm-hmm.
you name it. And then recently, you know, upon her death, you have a lot of these media outlets, like almost, you know, praising her and mm-hmm. making it sound like they've never said anything mean about her.
Exactly.
And they're acting like in the most hypocritical fashion just so that they can make some more money off the woman.
Yep.
So when, you know, when you say, may she rest in peace, my God, it doesn't even seem like that's happening after the fact, although, you know, she obviously is in a better place now than what she was in, because what a catastrophe the whole situation is, you know. Like you had mentioned, the death of her son, and then, you know, you have the birth of her baby 5 months ago, and we still don't know who the father is, and
yep.
you know, what a mess.
Yeah, nuts coming out of the woodwork, like Zsa Zsa's husband, and I heard last night that Zsa Zsa's husband, who's claiming paternity now, is suing Viagra because. He says that he can't perform now without it. So he's blaming Viagra, and it's costing him money for that. So it's this kind of craziness. Fox News hosts that say they think that so-and-so is probably the father because, well, they like him. You know, it's things like this that is just amazing. We have missing people out there, unsolved cases. The Specter case is going to be coming up pretty soon. It's fascinating. I'll have Ed Losey back on again to talk more about that. Yet we're talking about, some poor dead celebrity who was discovered in the media, who lived in the media, and who died in the media. And this will go on and on and on now. Who's going to claim paternity next? I think I might, because my head turned when I saw her on TV. You know, maybe I might get a chunk of that money. I don't know. I think it's just crazy.
Well, you know, Dana, I mean, the fact of the matter is that, you know, unfortunately, no one's really... hopefully somebody, let's take a positive spin on this, is going to take some responsibility for this child and not
yeah.
just look at it like this child may be a potential multi-million-dollar meal ticket for them with the pending lawsuits that are out there and the Supreme Court decision that's supposed to come down hopefully sometime in the near future. But I look at this story in a whole different manner. I mean, we write about it on Scared Monkeys because of the absurdity of it. But the one real interesting story in it is you have a five-month-old baby who is a citizen of the Bahamas.
Right.
Who the father potentially may be an American citizen, but they made sure that they stuck this child and gave it a foreign citizenship. And, I mean, this is going to be some real interesting international law that goes on here as to, you know, and you've done a lot of stories recently about the kids, you know, whisked away to Asia, China,
yep.
Japan, you name it.
Yep.
And this is kind of the same thing.
Yep.
That's where I think the real story is here. And, of course, you know, God forbid the media talk about something intelligent like that. You know, they want to talk about you know, Zsa Zsa's insane, you know, husband, which, you know, if Zsa Zsa back in the day, if she was a little younger, man, she would have been taking her pocketbook to the back of his head.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like she's done in the past with law enforcement.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, you look at this story, and there's some real, that's the real, real story to it, is how, on an international level, you know, a father's rights, paternity suits, how this is all going to play out.
Yep.
But, you know, you made the other point about how many, you know, other kind of stories there are out there. The it's the battle of the cable network versus the mainstream media as to who, why they're going to talk about it. But yet they all, even in complaining about it, they're talking about it and they're, you know, milking ratings off of that when, you know, there are so many, you know, like you said, the missing person stories out there that kind of need to be talked about. And I don't always agree with the stop all coverage and only devote your time to one thing. You know, yourself, you don't do this as a full-time job. I don't either. But somehow or another, we manage to, chew gum and walk at the same time.
Yeah, you're right. Anyway, thanks for calling, sir.
Thank you, Dana. You take care.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye. That's it. That's the Dana Pritzer Show tonight on Scared Monkeys Radio. Make sure and check out the webpage at www.scaredmonkeys.com/radio for my daily commentary, for past shows, podcasts, and other information about the program. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Ed Losey, Red, and Donnie Simons for checking in with us tonight. Have a good night. Have a good night, Connie. Good night.
Tire, we will not falter, and we will not fail. Wanted, dead or alive. America wants him brought to justice. That's what we want. To get him running and to find him and to hunt him down. But we're going to smoke him out. Whether we bring our enemies to justice or bring justice to our enemies, justice will be done.
Wanted, dead or alive.
But make no mistake about it.